This podcast is brought to you by Recontract, the leading software to automate your reconditioning process and streamline your entire used vehicle management process. Visit recontract.com to learn more. That's recontract.com.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, Nissan has a rogue problem, and it's turning to an old sales playbook to fix it. A new coalition wants to expand electronic vehicle title and registrations. And Ford's alleged effort to evade U.S. import tariffs will cost it hundreds of millions of dollars. Plus, General Motors President of Global Markets, Rory Harvey, talks about the role plug-in hybrids could play in the coming years.
Being an original OEM with multiple levers that we can pull, it gives us the flexibility to be able to meet market demand.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Nissan is offering dealers a $1,000 bonus on each 2023 Rogue sold in March. That's if they meet their volume target, which varies by store. Even as 2024 Rogues are dropped off at Nissan stores this month, Edmunds data shows that the brand's dealerships have as many as 24,000 previous model year crossovers on their lots. One Nissan dealer says the automaker has a big-time issue with its bestseller. The retailer was one of a half dozen interviewed by us at Automotive News who requested not to be identified for fear of retaliation. To rid the backlog, Nissan has resorted to a retail sales program that incentivizes dealers to move the metal, often at a discount, in return for a financial bonus if they meet volume targets. According to a memo obtained by Automotive News last week, dealers may count 2024 Rogue sales toward the volume goal, but the bonus is paid out only on last year's models. If dealers miss the target by even one vehicle, they don't get the bonus for any of them. You can read more at autonews.com.
A newly formed coalition is working to modernize the vehicle title and registration process across all 50 states. The group includes online used car retailer Carvana and the National Automobile Dealers Association. Carvana Senior Manager of Government Affairs, Tony Hall, says the group wants to bring awareness to legislative efforts, facilitate engagement, and dispel misconceptions about electronic title and registration processes.
We just feel like the friction and inefficiency that comes with those paper processes, again, they're costing consumers money, they're costing industry money, they're costing DMVs money. And it's not just money, it's also time.
Hall says 12 states allow electronic signatures on all vehicle title and registration documents.
Ford will pay $365 million to resolve U.S. allegations that it violated federal tariff law. U.S. officials say the automaker misclassified and understated the value of hundreds of thousands of its Transit Connects. The Justice Department said the settlement resolves allegations that Ford devised a scheme to avoid higher duties by misclassifying the cargo vans imported from Turkey from April 2009 to March 2013. The government said the settlement is one of the largest customs penalty settlements in recent history.
And 13 out of 14 driver assist systems got marginal or poor scores in the new Insurance Institute for Highway Safety Ratings. The IIHS tests the systems for driver monitoring, involvement, and encouragement of safety feature usage. The Lexus teammate with advanced drive was the only system to receive a rating of acceptable. The IIHS says the goal of the test is to encourage automakers to develop systems that make sure the driver is engaged and that promote the use of safety features such as seatbelts. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, 2023 Nissan Rogues are piling up on dealer lots. The Rogue is Nissan's bestseller. Is offering $1,000 bonuses for each Rogue sold a good idea?
Hey, you got to do it. You got to get rid of them. We talked about this, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, when Ford increased discounts on the Mustang Mach-E. Maybe they cut prices, but you have to cut the price because you got to get rid of these 2023s. We're in mid-March. They got to get rid of them. All they're going to do is decline in value. This could be a somewhat costly program. We hear dealers complaining about the backlog of Rogues, especially from 2023. But this is the brand stepping in, helping them clear their inventory because it's not going to do anybody any good sitting on the lot.
Gotcha. Coming up, we'll hear from General Motors President of Global Markets, Rory Harvey. That's next on Daily Drive.
We want to hear your voice on Daily Drive. What would you like us to talk about this week on our Weekend Drive episode of the show? What are some of the biggest industry trends or news stories you're thinking about?
Send us a voicemail, text, or email, and you might hear it on the next edition of Weekend Drive. Here's how you can get in touch.
Call us and leave a voicemail or text at 313-444-2774. Again, that's 313-444-2774. You can also record your voice on your smartphone and send it to dailydrive@autonews.com. That's dailydrive, one word, at autonews.com.
And tune into the show this weekend. You might hear your question or comment.
Managing your used inventory is not exclusive to one person or one part of the dealership. What does the communication look like between sales and service? Are your vehicles getting passed from trade-in to recon with no hiccups? What is your average cycle time to get a used car frontline ready? There is a lot to keep track of all at once. Right now, you could be experiencing three major issues with your recon information causing process breakdowns. One, lack of visibility into recon pricing to inform the appraisal process. Two, no access to that appraisal information when working through recon approvals. Three, missed information and process bottlenecks trying to manage a vehicle across multiple systems and tools. Full insight throughout your entire process is crucial to making your used car department the most efficient and profitable it can be. Recontract combined with AutoVision creates an end-to-end tool for your used car department to address these breakdowns. With access to live appraisal information and reconditioning approvals, you get a single view of every vehicle with all the data you need right in one place. Make more educated decisions on your used car inventory faster with all your data easily accessible at any stage. Visit info.recontract.com/autovision for more information. That's info.recontract.com/AUTOVISION.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. In his new role leading global markets for General Motors, Rory Harvey says he'll maintain a close focus on North America. Harvey's promotion in January to the new position of Global Markets President prompted a leadership transition in North America, the region he had led since June. He'll play a key role navigating a market transition to electric vehicles that, while progressing, is not moving as fast as anticipated. Harvey spoke with our own Lindsay Van Holly and Nick Bunkley. Here's a piece of their conversation.
What are some of those headwinds and tailwinds that might be on the horizon in 24?
So if you looked at it, you know, logistics has been a challenge. I would say that we're in a much, much better position than we have been in terms of logistics. But, you know, I'm sure that there will still be some speed bumps as we go through the year. You know, the plan is obviously that the speed bumps are not as frequent, and where we do incur the speed bumps, they're smaller. So that's one. You know, we've got you can have supplier challenges are still happening. Our purchasing team do a terrific job in terms of working our way through those supplier challenges. And I think we've got a good format as to how we escalate, how we look at alternative sourcing, how we look at helping our supply partners to be able to get back up to speed quickly. But, you know, there could be some challenges there. Another area that I'm not sure that I would describe it as a headwind, but, you know, the EV adoption is volatile at the moment. You know, last year was about 7% of the US industry. It was 1.1 million units, which is the largest that it's ever been. And, you know, if you looked at most of the consensus out there today in terms of the industry forecasts, they're saying that it's going to be north of 10% after 2024. So from that point of view, that's another significant increase in terms of EV adoption. Appreciative of the fact that, you know, there is some uncertainty out there. There's some noise that's going around, but, you know, you can only deal with the facts in terms of it. And the EV industry is expanding, and the EV industry will continue to expand. The unknown at this point in time is exactly how much is it going to expand? How quickly is it going to expand? Geographically, what are the variations going to be, et cetera? But, you know, that's another opportunity for us, because one of the things that I think is a real benefit for GM, I believe we've got, you know, the best ICE portfolio out there. And if you complement that with having EVs, you know, it gives you an opportunity to be able to increase your volume significantly. So we have the flexibility based upon customer demand to be able to shift so that we can align our resources to take full advantage of that customer demand.
The idea that hybrids would be coming back as well, you know, it sounds like not this year. I don't know if you have any kind of insight on timing, if that's 2025, you know, mid or later this decade. But that idea of flexing, you'll now have a plug-in option too, but to sort of be that bridge.
Yep. Yeah, we've not communicated anything on hybrids yet. But, you know, globally, we have the resource to be able to do that. You know, we have different powertrain systems throughout the globe. And it's one of those ones that, being an original OEM with multiple levers that we can pull, it gives us the flexibility to be able to meet market demand.
How fast or how easy is that to take technology that you do have in other markets and then be able to apply it to North America? Is that something that's relatively easy, or at least a faster process than if you were going?
It's definitely a faster process than if you were to start from scratch. And I guess, you know, it depends on the technology and the regulations as to where it is operative today, as to how much work is required to bring it to the US. So I can't give you a one-size-fits-all answer in that, but there's absolutely no doubt that it's an advantage having the technology within your portfolio on a global basis.
How did that evolution in thinking happen, where at one point GM was saying, we're just going to go right to EVs, and now you're obviously rethinking that, taking a little bit different approach? You know, was there kind of a tipping point that came to realize, you know, this?
I think I described it as, you know, if you looked at the way that the automotive industry used to work, we were able to look in the rearview mirror, and you would be able to pretty accurately forecast what was going to happen going forward. But with the transition to EVs, with some of the regulations in terms of emissions, etc., it's unknown. You know, we're looking out of the windscreen now, and there's not a path that you can look at in the rearview mirror to be able to say how that is going to play out. So it's one of those ones that, you know, it's optionality and meeting customer demand. So, you know, we will participate in terms of hybrids, but, you know, in certain segments of where it makes commercial sense to do so.
At the same time, it sounds like the, you know, the commitment to EVs is still there. And so there's
absolutely
going to be the focus, especially this year, on that ramp up. How is that going? Are the battery module issues being resolved?
So we've had a good, strong start to the year in terms of battery module production. You know, we did have some challenges that we went through the course of last year. I think, you know, they've been reported on, and we've been very transparent in terms of that. But certainly the start of the year has been extremely positive. And, you know, as we get vehicles out there, we're getting very good momentum on some of our EVs. So as we build our capabilities in terms of producing vehicles, you know, if you take the Lyriq as an example, you know, we don't report our numbers monthly anymore. But, you know, Lyriq would have had a very, very strong December. And I can tell you that it had a very strong start to this year. And then the first 2 months that we've had significant Lyriq volume out at our dealer partners in scale. And we've delivered two very, very strong months in terms of Cadillac Lyriq performance. So that's just one soundbite. So looking forward to getting more Hummers produced, as an example, Silverado work trucks, and then we will put our foot on the accelerator pedal.
And that obviously, I mean, that's going to be key to that growth this year, with, you know, Equinox EV coming, with Blazer EV getting to scale again, and additional trims. So figuring out and resolving those module assembly issues is going to getting that production ramp is going to be critical for that acceleration.
You're absolutely right.
Do you have optimism, or do you have enough confidence, I think, in where those fixes are happening, that you're going to be able to get to that acceleration? That
I do have optimism, and I do have confidence in the team to be able to deliver. You know, again, it's new technology. You know, we worked in partnership in terms of the battery module production. But if you looked at our ability to be able to do what we needed to do, you know, as we started this year, we've certainly delivered. The team have delivered against that. So I have no reason to think otherwise than being optimistic that we can achieve our goals.
I think the goal that Mary had outlined this week was, I think, 200 to 300,000 EVs produced this year in North America. I know previously, I think it was by mid this year, GM was forecasting having built 400,000 of them. do you think that you'd be close to that target, or is it going to probably
so fall it, it won't be the 400,000. You know, the market is changing. If you go back as to when some of those numbers were forecast, if you went to the industry consensus as to what EV adoption was going to be at this particular point in time, you will see a direct correlation in terms of the lower numbers that are quoted now versus the industry adoption. And that's where I say it's going to be a little bit volatile as we go through, because, you know, this is driving a path that hasn't been driven before.
So it sounds like it's a recognition of that evolving demand. And
yeah, I would say, you know, EV volume is good. EV volume is strong. EV volume grew last year. EV volume is going to grow this year, I think. You know, even the most pessimistic forecasts are still forecasting some sizable growth for EV volumes this year in terms of the industry. But it's not accelerated at the pace that the industry predicted that it was going to accelerate at a point in time. So there is a slowdown in terms of the gradient of the graph, so to speak, in terms of the acceleration.
The goal, though, it sounds like, is still to get to, you know, that 2035 timeframing. GM's still holding to that. It sounds like from now until then, there's that ability to flex, the plugins coming back in. There are different paths to ultimately get there.
I think the one thing that we need to do is, you know, you need to work with regulations. We have our company's strategic plan in terms of what we need to deliver. But you also need to dovetail that with consumer demand. You know, you want to have a pull for your products in terms of consumers actually wanting your products. So from that point of view, as I say, an ICE portfolio, having the ability in certain segments to be able to do hybrids, having an EV play within our portfolio as well. If you dovetail all of those together, it gives us optionality as a company.
Where do you see some of the potential consumer hang up in EVs? Is it charging? Is it range? Is it affordability? Is it some combination?
It's a number of those, to be honest with you. I mean, we do market research on this all the time, as you would envisage. And, you know, one of them is the functionality and the aesthetics of the vehicle. As you know, with our Ultium platform, as an example, it's an exclusive platform for EVs. That's not the case in all instances. So that gives us a competitive advantage. There's no doubt that EVs historically demanded a significant price premium. That price premium now is starting to reduce, as an example. So affordability also comes into play. In terms of EVs, dependent upon the usage for consumers, as an example, there's a tipping point in terms of range. So from that point of view, that comes into play. And there's no doubt that for those families that are a one family household, as an example, charging infrastructure also comes into play, particularly if you're going to go, whether it be on vacation, whether it be a long road trip. You know, some people are nervous as to, is the charging infrastructure there? Is it going to be working when I get there, et cetera? So there's some of those questions there. So it's not one element, and it varies by individual as to, you know, how much of a priority that is in terms of it. If you're somebody that has a garage, as an example, and you've got a charger in the garage and you drive 200 miles a week in your EV and you charge it up every night, just like you would do with your iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. You know, those customers are so happy with their EVs, as an example. But there are certain circumstances that, you know, are experiences that we don't necessarily experience all of the time. So there can be challenges or more challenges. You know, I lived in New York for a period of time. And if you looked at the charging infrastructure in New York, it's not at the same level that it is in certain other geographical areas in the US.
Some of that, obviously, are things that are just kind of outside of GM's control. But there are parts of that, you know, GM and its dealer network can work with consumers on, as far as talking through that. How important is that piece of it, you know, working with dealers and things that you'll be wanting to do this year, especially to help with that kind of education and training? And
so it's really important. So we have a set of standards and a commitment that our dealer partners need to adopt to be able to sell EVs to start off with. And we actually started off in terms of the playbook, in terms of dealer training with Cadillac. And there was a massive amount of work that was done there in terms of training the individuals at dealerships in terms of EVs. Because again, it's a journey for the individuals there. They hadn't sold EVs in the past. There were lots of questions that were being asked by potential consumers that weren't questions that they got asked previously. And again, you know, we look at we have a number of mechanisms where we can measure dealers' performance in those areas, as an example, and then continuously improve the messaging that we put out there and the training, as an example. So we're confident that our dealers have the tools to be able to do that. But, you know, again, you'll get staff turnover at dealerships, et cetera. So you need to continually refresh that. And there's, you know, lots of new things that come up. You know, one of the next ones will be the NACS chargers and the opening up of the Tesla network, as an example, for GM owners. So, you know, you need to continually make sure that everybody has the latest information so that they can provide informed opinions to our customers.
Is there anything, you know, new as far as updated and timing on when, you know, those adapters come into play and I think 25 is still when the charging port is kind of built into the EVs. But yeah. This year still for...
Yes, correct. Yep. And still in half one.
First half. Yep. Okay.
We have a team that are working on that, and they provide a weekly update to us. So it's not a significant period of time away.
As long as you're not overbuilding EVs for what the market can support, I mean, is a slower transition actually kind of a positive for GM when you're not making money off of them yet? And you know, you'd rather sell people a nice vehicle in a lot of cases because it's more profitable?
That was a really interesting question, and it depends which lens you're looking through it as to how you would answer that one. You know, EVs are important. We need to be able to demonstrate and deliver and show that we can build EVs at scale and to perform in the marketplace. You know, that's a key performance for us as a company that we need to deliver. It's common knowledge that you don't make as much on an EV as you do on a nice vehicle, as an example. So, you know, and I think that's for the industry as a whole. So then if you look at a greater blend of ICE vehicles versus EVs, you would say that has an opportunity to enhance your bottom line. But fundamentally, we need to be able to demonstrate and show the industry that, you know, we can build units with quality, on time, and with scale in terms of EVs.
Rory Harvey is president of Global Markets for General Motors. He spoke with our own Lindsay Van Holley and Nick Bunkley. You can read more about their conversation at autonews.com. That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News coordinating producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Urvash Kakaria, Audrey LaForest, and George Weikamp for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on manufacturing, retail, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.